This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Now, it's The Rundown, presented by ExploreSt.Louis.com. The biggest stories of the day from Jason and John on 92.9 FM ESPN. First story.
So NBA Finals Game 1 is on Thursday. We have tonight, and then we have tomorrow, and then we got a game. We got a game tomorrow night, so I'm excited about that, right? Isn't that fun? What a privilege it is to watch NBA championship basketball. Just the highest of the execution, right?
I mean, let's be real. It's thin, especially if you're not into baseball, and the Cubs suck, so I'm not into baseball right now. Without the finals, there wouldn't be much to go on in terms of sporting world right now.
John. Oh, no.
Let's just be real.
No, we can be real.
On recruiting and transfer portal additions.
That's right. And we can do that. We can do it all, man. We can have baseball talk if you want to have baseball talk.
No, we don't want to do it.
You know what I'm saying? But yes, game one is tomorrow. And on Around the Horn yesterday, they were, you know, because I think it was Kalishaw maybe that posted all the topics, like the A block, B block, whatever. And one of the A block topics was who is the most important player in this series.
That's a good one.
And if I were on Around the Horn, right? If I were a contestant, a panelist on Around the Horn,
one day.
And I want to hear, you know, I want to get the doop, 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 like when they put the points up, you know what I'm saying?
Yep.
More likely, I would just get muted all the time by reality.
Kind of think so.
But that's all right. Like, they bring me back for that. I would say the most important player in the series is Jaylen Brown. To their team, Jaylen Brown. And my argument would be as follows. I know what I'm going to get from Steph Curry every time if I'm a Golden State fan or Steve Kerr. Like, he's going to be great. He's going to be brilliant. He's going to make a lot of threes. He's going to make a lot of dazzling passes. His level is going to be high because it always is.
Mm-hmm.
Same argument applies to Jason Tatum. Jason Tatum has had a historic playoffs, right? Like, he has been at an truly, for his age and experience, at a truly unprecedented level in these playoffs. I know what I'm getting from him. If Jaylen Brown is great, and we've seen him be great in these playoffs, right? He's had his moments where he has taken over. You know, I think about that furious comeback. They ended up winning the game. But what was it, game three against Miami? You know, I want to say he had a great game against he made that three to pull him within one.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's instrumental. He can make some shots.
And they're missing those free throws in game six.
Yep, that was a bad moment. That was a bad moment. But if he can be great, I think Boston can win this series. In fact, I don't think they can win the series unless he is great. If he is just, you know, if he's not shooting the ball well and he's shooting, you know, 36% and, you know, he's not necessarily engaged and he's turning the ball all over the court, then no chance the Celtics win this series. But if he has a game like he had on May 19th, right, where the Heat won by 25, and you know, he had 24 in that game, but in the game three loss, he had 40. If he can find a middle between 40 and 25, right, and average 28 points a game, I think the Celtics can win this series. But if he has nights, right, where he's only got 12, he's got 20. Again, 25%, 35%, if he's just erratic, inconsistent, which he can be, I think the Warriors are going to win this game, or series, and perhaps do it convincingly. Like, I would lean more towards six than seven, and we'll ask Windhorse about this, but I would say him because I think Jaylen Brown holds the keys for the Celtics because I know what I can expect. I mean, it's not Al Horford, right? Al Horford's not the most important player in the series. Marcus Smart maybe could make a case for him, but I don't get enough from him offensively day in and day out to pick him. Clay has moments, but I don't think he's going to be relevant enough in terms of the top three in this series to be that choice. So I would say if Jaylen Brown is great and he shoots the hell out of the ball, then Boston will win the series. If he can't, and if the moment's too big for him, then Golden State will win the series. And perhaps I would entertain five even.
It's pretty sound logic, especially if you're using the basis, basically, that Steph Curry and Jason are going to be great and X each other out.
Correct. There's not going to be a huge edge between those two, in my mind. They're going to be the best players in the series. Right.
So your logic is sound there, and I can get it that you need Jaylen. If Boston's going to win, and we both got Golden State winning, Jaylen's got to be great along with Tatum. So I get where you're coming from. I would still tell you it's Steph. Because you and I have both seen, I'm just going to play devil's advocate here.
Mm-hmm.
Now, forget that, because I believe this. Well, it's Steph in the sense that you've seen it. There's been a drop-off with Clay, right? Like, we know what Draymond does and defensively and the orchestrator he is offensively, but if you don't have Steph in this 26 points, he's been your superstar. It just feels like the other guys, right, none of them have been excellent or tremendous throughout these playoffs. They've all sort of had their ups and downs. I suppose you could say Draymond in his role has been. But Steph is the superstar they need, whereas with the Celtics, it's sort of a brothers thing. It's sort of a tandem, the two Dobermans, as I like to call them, with Scotty and Mike, as we used to call them. So I would just make the case, I like where you're coming from, and you're right. If Steph and Jason Tatum just going to X each other out, then it does make Jaylen Brown the most important. That said, I would think that Golden State needs Steph to be great. Otherwise, John, I think we're not looking at Golden State winning this series because, again, I'm not going to say Klay's been pedestrian because he's had some great closeout games.
He's been pretty pedestrian.
But he's averaging 19 points.
Yeah.
You know, that's, you know, cause Steph is averaging 26 points in these playoffs, by far the team leader in points. They have to have him playing well or else there's no chance.
Parker sends along a stat here from StatMuse. Steph Curry, when defended by Marcus Smart the last five seasons, 30 points in six games, 37% shooting, three assists to seven turnovers.
30 combined in six games?
Yeah, 30 combined.
That's impressive.
I mean, that's pretty ridiculous.
Yeah, let's go out and see. You go out and do that, Marcus Smart does that to him? Boston's winning this series, by the way.
And Marcus Smart will be the MVP of the series. If that's what he does, if Steph is limited to 30 points in six games and Boston wins the series in six games, Marcus Smart is going, and he's primarily defended by him, he will be like Iguodala, right? Iguodala won the finals MVP when he was guarding LeBron.
So remember, Boston's not the only good defensive team in this series. You got one versus two here from the regular season. Boston number one, Golden State was number two in defense.
Yes.
That's what I'm saying. There's, you know, it's a, just because they can make it harder for Steph doesn't mean the same thing. Golden State can't do it for one of Boston's key performers.
So. Right. But would you have given me like a few points on the Jaylen Brown choice?
I don't even know why you read the stat, because that didn't go with your Jaylen Brown at all. I'd be looking for backups to your Jaylen Brown argument.
Yeah,
that didn't help you at all there.
I would have done a little bit more research if I was actually on that show. I would have had some stats to back up when Jaylen Brown does X, Y, and Z. The Celtics are X, Y, and Z.
Again, they got
I'm not two. Bringing that to you. I'm not on Around the Horn right now. I'm on the Jason and John show. Like, this is what you get, bro.
I don't know if you win this one, bro.
I'm not trying to win. This is just
it feels like you are.
I just feel like Jaylen. I truly believe this.
Just don't overthink it. It's Steph.
If Jaylen Brown is awesome, Boston can win this series, and will win this series. That's what I believe. It's will. Let's say this. If Jaylen Brown,
it better be will, because that's what you said about Steph. If Steph is awesome, they will win.
If Jaylen Brown averages 25 a game, I think they win the series.
You asking a lot of Jaylen Brown there, buddy.
He's done it though. I mean, he's typically around that number, right? I mean, he had 40 against the Heat in Game 3. He had 25 against them in Game 5. You know, I mean, he has.
We're because I got Golden State. We are not letting Tatum and Brown both do their thing, John.
Well, who's
they're not just
who,
both going to run
who's
around?
Guarding
and
who?
Do it all.
Who's guarding who? Like, that's interesting. Like, who's going to guard Tatum and who's going to guard Jaylen Brown?
I mean, I'd probably start with Wiggins on Tatum.
Okay.
And I suppose.
Who's going to guard
Clay?
Man, Clay going to get done up. Clay about to get done up by Jaylen Brown, bro. Because Jaylen Brown can drive downhill, right?
And he can also charge.
And he'll turn it over.
And Clay will get in there and take some charge. That's going to be his best. Positioning will be Clay's best defense and taking charges on Jalen. I think that's how you start.
You know what they could do, though?
Put Clay on Jason. Even Jason just get too
comfortable. You know what they'll do? They'll put Gary Payton on him. They'll put Gary Payton on Jalen Brown because Oladipo really frustrated him in that game 3 loss in Boston. Like, Oladipo turned him over like 3 or 4 times, and he's a smaller guard. That didn't matter.
Right.
Payton is we haven't talked a lot about him. He's going to be pretty key in this series if he comes back because they need another perimeter defender.
Because Jordan Poole cannot.
Correct.
He's a zero on defense.
He nobody even talks about that.
Oh, no, you're right. I mean, it can help. Again, he's coming back from injury. How effective can you be?
Yeah, and it didn't.
But it's another body.
It didn't make much of a difference on Ja. Ja didn't really mind the assignment as
much. I bet no.
They started Gary Payton because they thought it would frustrate Ja. It didn't work. Ja was like, I'm not going to be studded by this dude in the playoffs, man.
I could have won that game one.
Yep. That would have been a whole different deal, whole different ball game, totally. Mm-hmm. But this is a Jalen Brown fan club right now.
I wasn't prepared for it today.
I need that. I want that series because you know I'm going to Cancun. I'm leaving.
Okay.
I'm off season Patty mode.
Well,
starts.
Good for you. Who's yeah? Somebody's down there from the Daily Memphian right now.
Is that true?
I thought I heard Jeff say that earlier today.
Oh, I don't know.
Wasn't, were they talking about you?
No, I'm not there yet. I'm still in Memphis. But
It's like the off-season retreat for everybody in Memphis to head down to Cancun. When are you going down, bro?
We got direct flights now.
I ain't going to Cancun.
Oh, it's the direct flight angle. That's why so many of us
Mine's not direct, but we do have direct flight offerings now.
Gotcha.
But the reason why I said it is I would like to watch. I don't get down there until game 5, right? Last year I watched the finals in Cancun, and I greatly enjoyed it. I enjoyed watching. It was hard to find. There was only one TV on the whole damn resort, and it was small as hell. But I enjoyed watching the finals from Cancun.
If they're listening to John Martin right now in Cancun, get y'all's TVs
right.
in order.
Yeah, man, it's tough. Like you
Buenos dias.
You go in there, you ask him.
Yeah, buenos dias.
You go there, you're like, hey, NBA finals? They're like, huh? What? What is that? Like, yeah. There's no Mexican players.
There's no
in the
help
NBA,
for that,
right? Like, it's just true, you know. Yeah. And then I have to do the motion. You know what I'm saying?
They don't know what that is.
Yeah, eventually, like,
not with your mode. That, well, not that
no,
mode.
Because it's not like there's not local channels, right? Like the ABC
yeah.
is not a local affiliate mm-hmm. in Playa del Carmen, as you know.
They don't have a super box in where John Martin's going on vacation.
I'm sure they do. I'm sure somebody in that mug has a super box down there. That's probably where it lives. That's where it's a big, big capital. For those super boxes down there.
It's still trucking, too, while y'all talking.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Yeah, I think we're going to year 3 or 4 now.
It's working out. Jason Smith is
channel's still robust.
He's hot on that thing.
I'm sorry?
The channel's still robust? The selections?
Very much so.
Oh, even better than usual.
I was going to say, it's only increased. It certainly hasn't decreased, John.
We'll be making a call.
You said that a year or 2 years ago.
We'll be making a call on that one. Yeah. But, yeah, I'll be, I'm rooting for a long series. Need Jalen Brown to be great for that to happen.
Next story.
We'll stick with the series. Steph Curry hasn't won a finals MVP, but he is the favorite. Sort of goes along with John's thinking, too, about how important Jalen Brown is because we've got the odds here. I think Steph Curry's plus 100. Jason Tatum is at plus 180. And then the next guy is Jalen Brown at 1,000. We kind of had this conversation a little bit yesterday in terms of take Jason Tatum and Steph off the table, and who is the guy most likely. Would you still put Jalen in this position based on your – previous argument that if he's the most important player of the series, that he's the guy?
Sure. Yeah. I mean, I think Tatum would still get it, though. Don't you? It's hard.
The most likely outside of the top two.
Oh, well, out of those two, yes. No okay. question about it. But okay. I think Tatum would still get it. Like, if Boston wins, I'll just give it to Tatum.
Then John rolls with Vegas here. Klay Thompson's at plus 1,500, and then Draymond's at plus 1,800. Who would be a slick good long shot? A slick good dark horse? Marcus Smart? I don't think Marcus Smart.
What's he at?
I would put money on Marcus Smart.
I don't have it in front of me.
No, he's
longer
odds. But I can guarantee you he's a long shot.
Yes.
Poole's 200-1.
That's a good one. Poole's a good one. That's good value. I mean,
yeah.
100 put pays, what's that, 20,000?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's good value on Jordan Poole. Like, he could come in and I mean, we're talking about, like, crazy.
Cause see if I can find Smarts. I don't have a list, and it's just from a story.
You know what? Here's the truth. I would not bet on a Golden State
Smarts
Warrior.
Plus 3,500.
Yeah. I would bet on – if I'm truly trying to, like, make magic happen, I would not bet on a Golden State player because, as we established, if Golden State wins, Steph's getting that trophy. He just is. He's never gotten it.
And it's voted on by the media, John?
It's voted on by the media.
Okay.
So I would have to go with I'd have to go with Marcus Smart or Jaylen Brown.
So Poole's not as much of a long shot. It was 200-1 on April 16th when a Colorado bettor placed 500 on him. They've shortened to 30-1 now finals on Poole.
Well, yeah, I don't even think I'd bet it at 200-1 because I just don't think if Golden State wins it, they're not giving it to anybody besides Steph Curry. They're just not. It's a career achievement award as much as anything. Mm. And a lot of people are going to lose a lot of money on Clay.
Yeah.
A lot of people are going to
Well, a lot of people thought he should have won it the Iguodala year, too.
Yeah. Clay's not going to be good enough to win that. So, I mean, Draymond, right? I mean, Draymond could average a triple-double. Who knows? I mean, he could have, 10,
Steph would need to be off. He would need to have an off game, right? That Draymond came through
for
that to happen.
If you want, if you really want to win this bet, here's what you do. This is not financial advice. But you would put, $5,000 on Steph to win it plus 100. And then you would, just to cover your base on the Golden State side. And then you would put $250 on a long shot for the Celtics, right? Just to cover your bases. If you think it's going to be Jaylen Brown and Marcus Smart, but $250 on that. And then unless Jason Tatum wins it, you're going to make some money. It feels like, right? But I just feel like if we agree that Golden State is going to win this year, and it's not sexy, it's not long term value, or it's not. But Steph's going to be the guy, bro. That's the script. That's the way it's going.
Yeah, sometimes it's smart not to overthink it.
Exactly.
I think Steph's the guy.
Just like game one.
Plus 100 is an opportunity.
Like game one, right? I'm not overthinking game one. Golden State's winning this game. They're just winning the game. And every team that's won the game has covered pretty much exclusively in the playoffs. If an underdog covers, they have won the game. If a favorite wins, they're covering. So I'm not going to overthink the 3.5. Boston's coming off a really emotional series that was back and forth, zigzag pretty much all the way. You're out there at San Francisco, coast to coast. Know you've had some time to get out there and get acclimated. But, dude, they're going to be so hyped. They don't lose out there.
Facts in the playoffs.
They could lose in game two, but they ain't losing game one, bro. You are not about to be up 1-0 on the Golden State Warriors after winning at their place. It ain't happening, Captain. And a big reason why is because they are the best shooters. They have two of the best shooters that have ever done it, right?
It's true.
And Steph Curry and Klay Thompson. And how did they become that, Jason? They became, unless you have anything you want to add.
Mm-mm.
Yeah, they became that by finding those edges and those advantages that were available to them. Shoot 360 right here in Memphis. They use that. Those guys go there. They measure their jump shot. They refine their skills that way. You got a son or a daughter who can do that, loves basketball, right here in Memphis. It's a basketball utopia. They're going to absolutely love it. Get better. Get better this summer. You're looking for things to do? Great way to do it.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.
Shoot 360. Brian Windhorst covers the NBA for ESPN. Finals are set. Game one tomorrow. Catch it right here on 90.9 FM ESPN. He joins us now. Brian, does this feel like, perhaps it could be a great NBA Finals on paper?
I don't know if it'll be a great finals, but I do think it's going to be a long finals. I think both of these teams will land punches on each other. I think the matchups there's matchup advantages for each side. And, I agree with the bookmakers that the Warriors are the favorite, but by no means do I think it's going to be an easy win for them. And I think the Celtics absolutely have a chance to do it. And so, I think we've had an okay playoffs because injuries, obviously the folks in Memphis can attest to that. Injuries have robbed some of the potential competition level. But I do think we've ended up with, knock on wood, a reasonably healthy finals and a finals that should hopefully be enjoyable to watch.
How much of an advantage is that Golden State championship experience in your mind, Brian? It's a huge narrative. We talk about it all the time, but in your mind, how much of an advantage is it for
them? I don't think it's massive. I think the Celtics' biggest, if I could put this delicately, one of the Celtics' biggest flaws is that sometimes they kind of lose their mind a little bit. And I don't want to be rude, but sometimes they just don't play very smart. And I don't know if that's because they don't have experience by comparison, and that, the Warriors, may be able to stay the course a little bit more. I don't know if you chalk that up to experience. I will say that there was a moment or two in the last round where I thought Eric Spoelstra might have gotten over on Ime Udoka a tad with some adjustments because of his playoff experience. The Celtics have a very good staff, but it's a younger staff. Mm-hmm. So I think you might see that a little bit, but I would be surprised if that's a dominant storyline. I think that's something that you talk about before finals to fill time, like we're doing right now, before we keep talking about the games. I don't know if it'll be an important factor.
Who is the most important player in this series for the Celtics? I feel like I know who it is for Golden State. Who would that player be for Boston?
Well, I think Jason Tatum is their best player. And for the Celtics to win this, Tatum needs to play at a very high level, sustained. You look at Jason's stats, they look awesome. And he's had a great postseason. But he's had a couple of times where he has just vanished. And, this happens to all players. But there's a couple of times where you are like, do they have a first-team All-NBA player out there or not? And he's at the end of the day, he's always been able to deliver. They're here. He had an incredible, one of the best games of the season, certainly the best game of his career, 46-point road elimination game in Milwaukee. He played a very good Game 7 a couple of days ago in Miami. He won the Eastern Conference Finals MVP. But he's had moments where he has absolutely vanished. And the Celtics don't have the luxury to be able to survive that in a series with this high stakes. But the thing about it is that Boston really has 7.5 players. And they need all of them. And so, and not only that, but, they're a couple of them are perpetually banged up. Those seven guys are really, really good. Otherwise, they wouldn't be here. But they don't have the luxury. Some teams have the luxury that, one of their four or five best players can vanish and they can absorb it. It's no big deal. The Celtics, they don't really have that luxury. They need all of their guys to be going for them to have a chance in this series.
One of the things we've talked quite a bit about already is what would winning another title, so fourth for Steph, and then a finals MVP, which to this point has eluded him, what would that do to cement his legacy? But I'll ask the question the other way, Brian. Are we saying anything differently about him if they lose this series and Steph does not play well? What are we saying about his legacy then?
I am a believer that Steph Curry's legacy is secure.
Okay.
He's the greatest shooter of all time.
Absolutely.
He's a multi-time MVP. I think people love having the conversation about where to draw the line, top 10, top 13, top 6.5. And it's fun as sports fans to have that conversation. It's one of the things that drives our interest in the game and engages us to not only talk about basketball, which we love, but to go at each other and defend our guy. I don't think Steph Curry needs to do anything to be regarded as one of the greatest players in the history of the sport. I will say that the finals performances that he has are okay, but they do not equal his greatness as a player. And when you look at those all-time greats, they have finals MVP trophies on their mantle, and those finals MVP trophies sit higher on their mantle than their regular season MVP trophies. Yep. So those guys are wired and competing at the highest level to play well at the most important time. And so I think Steph's just going to want to do that. But I don't think he quote unquote needs anything. Steph Curry is, it's been a joy to watch his career. It's been a joy to cover it. This will be the sixth finals. I've covered all of them that he's been involved with. Yep. And it's been amazing to watch, and I'm looking forward to seeing it again. And I'm not foolish enough or dense enough to not appreciate his greatness.
Last thing on Golden State, and this certainly won't be a storyline, Brian, but obviously the connection here in Memphis. James Wiseman, just what you're hearing on his future. We talked to you at one point early on in his career where he's going coast to coast, and the future looked bright, and the fit looked great. Do you still expect great things from James Wiseman in Golden State? What's the word on him?
I'm a big fan. I'm a big believer in his talent. I was excited when they drafted him. I've been excited what they've seen. And, of course, it doesn't look good right now. And, the Warriors are not saying everything about this knee injury, but how could you not be super concerned? He had, it was not minor knee surgery, but it was not ACL reconstruction. You know, he had a meniscus repair, which is typically done so that a knee is much more stable long term. It is the long term solution for better knee health. And not only did he have another surgery, which they didn't even announce, they still to this point I don't think they've even announced it. And that says a lot right there, right? Doesn't it say a lot when you don't announce a surgery? And then he said he had further setbacks with the same knee. I mean, we got enormous flashing red lights on that injury. And how can you possibly evaluate him as a player? He's basically been hurt almost all of his career. And then he started in the COVID season, which was very challenging for rookies. He's been absolutely handed the worst hand. But the great thing about it is that this team hasn't quote-unquote needed him,
right.
And they want him,
right.
You know, so it's so nothing is off the table as far as his career and his development. I just really wonder what's going on with his knee, and how long has it been since he's given an interview? It's been months on end. He's barely talked about it at all. I'm sure he's very frustrated, but I don't have the information on his knee. I wish I could tell you, here's what my sources are saying. I don't have the information. But without that information, I remain hopeful that he's still going to be a productive impact player in the NBA.
We're talking to Brian Windhorst, covers NBA for ESPN. How pivotal is are we in a territory now with the Grizzlies where every offseason is going to feel like it's high stakes? Do you feel that way about this offseason for the Grizzlies? What's just your assessment on, the decisions that they've got to make, whether it's in free agency or the draft coming up?
Well, it's in my viewpoint that the Grizzlies need to make a consolidation trade, that they need to take some of their talent, some of their draft assets, and flip it into a veteran player that can help them go to the next level. They may not agree with that. They may like going low and slow. They are excellent at drafting. And they may believe that they can continue to draft and get that player through the draft. And I'm not here to say that that's an incorrect path. But they are, you don't have to be a basketball expert to watch them and realize that they're probably a player short of competing at the level we're at right now. I mean, the jaw injury was incredibly unfortunate. I still have no idea what happened there. I know that Jordan Poole's name is mud in Memphis, but I just don't believe he intended to hurt him. And I just can't believe that impact caused that injury. But, you know, if they say that it did, I'm not here. How can I possibly say it didn't? But, they're a player short. They're not a superstar short. I mean, if they get another superstar, it would be awfully nice. But, I've compared it to probably with you guys to the Andre Iguodala, ironically enough. The Andre Iguodala move that the Warriors made when they had a young Steph Curry and a young Klay Thompson and a young Draymond Green. I mean, we all loved those players, but Iguodala was a defining player for them that took them to the next level. And, it was really expensive. Cost them 2 first-round picks and a ton of money. I go back and look at the when David West signed with the Pacers, when they had a young Paul George, and a young Roy Hibbert, that type of move. And in that case, West was coming off a knee injury, and it was a little bit easier risk reward for them. But like that type of trade, that type of addition is what I think the Grizzlies need to do, and how they do it and what player it is and all that stuff. I mean, that's what Zach Lyman is executive of the year for, is to hash all that stuff out and figure that out. But that, in my view, is what they need to do. If they want to increase their chances to win at the whole thing next year.
For you, would that include pushing in Dylan Brooks if you need to, maybe a couple of picks?
Yes.
It has to be, huh?
Yes. I mean, again, go back and look at the what the Warriors did. I mean, I don't know if you remember, but that was a stunning move at the time. And, they gave up 2 unprotected first round picks to offload players. I think he traded them to Utah. They offloaded players to create cap space. The Grizzlies are a better position to do it because they have maneuverability in their payroll, and they have, a full complement of picks. And I mean, I know that when you've gotten a guy like Desmond Bane at the 30th pick, it's you don't want to give up more picks. And you look at these teams that are really good at the end here, look at what the Warriors have done, with picks late first round. They got Jordan Poole, the 27th, 28th pick. So I don't want to imply here that those picks do not have value, that that's just a throw off that you do that. But I do think that type of move is what they really need to be studying, and we'll see what they do. I could totally see them saying, no, we're going to make our selections and move forward.
Look, it's over and done with, but did you have any issue with the way, because Max Strus certainly still does, with the way that those points were handled, the timing and how there was – we didn't see a televised explanation. Has the league said anything about that publicly? Like, from what you're hearing, what are people saying about that sequence of events there in Game 7?
Well, privately, the league basically showed the media the rule book and that they followed the rules. So, it did follow the rules. And as far as taking the points off the board in that regard, I mean, we've seen that before where points are taken off the board later. And it wasn't, the officials, if the game is at a high stakes moment, the officials will stop the game immediately. The reason that they take it off later is to not stop the game. So I think they followed all of the rules and the way the rules are written and everything. I just question whether it was actually out of bounds, whether it was compelling enough.
Right.
It was compelling. And, I mean, I would have felt that was questionably compelling in a game in January. I would have wondered if he stepped out of bounds. we all know, we've all been trained, what do you have to have a replay overturned? It's got to be clear and incontrovertible. And I just didn't think that it was. I mean, it looked like it could have been, but considering the stakes, I just, I think that it was really a thing. And look, over the course of the game, there are all kinds of calls that affect the scoreboard. But that one in particular, because it actually peeled points off the board, felt much bigger. I don't think it's you can honestly say that it affected the outcome of the game. But I think you could honestly say that it was controversial and hurt the Heat. I think that's a fair statement to make.
I mean, I got to ask you, because I know you know him well, Mike Miller's launched his agency here, and he's got a big draft class coming up. Paolo Banchero, he landed a consensus top three pick. How big can that agency be? I mean, landing a guy like that certainly legitimizes you. Do you think Mike Miller and Lyft can be, you know, in the discussion every year for top three guys? Like, what are people in the industry saying about what Mike's doing?
Okay, you were asking me about a guy who's one of the favorite guys I've ever covered. I absolutely love Mike Miller as a person. I love him as a player. If my son was a terrific NBA type player, then that would be great. That's never going to happen. But if my son was an NBA talent, Mike would absolutely be a leading candidate to represent my son. I don't know if I can give an objective answer here. I will say that getting Blanchero, especially after he had a relationship with another agent on NIL deals, I mean, we're still early in the NIL process, but typically those guys stick with the agents that they had coming into college. It's a major get for his firm. And I was talking to some executives who were in Chicago at the pro days and the pre-draft camp combine, I guess they call it now. They said Mike is far and away the best player agent. He was running the draft combine. He was running his guys' draft combine workouts. You're not seeing. Yep. You know, I've known Rich Paul for 20 years. I like Rich Paul a lot. We go way, way back. With all due respect to Rich Paul, he is not out there running the draft workouts for his guys. So I am a big believer in Mike Miller. His son, you know, his sons are at this age. He's been totally immersed in the AAU world. I live in Omaha, Nebraska. I will tell you that I did my part in attempting to recruit his son to come play at Creighton, where his brother is an assistant coach. So I was very happy his son came to Creighton. I can't say more about how much I like Mike Miller. I don't know it. You know, the agent game is such a ridiculous, cutthroat, vicious environment. I would never do the job for one day. I'm stunned that anybody wants to do it. I can't believe he wants to do it. I can't believe he didn't want to coach anymore and wanted to do this instead, but to each his own. But he's off to a great start, and I wish him nothing but the best.
Hey, Brian, great stuff as always.
Thank you,
man.
So much,
thanks,
Brian,
for squeezing us in. Appreciate it, man.
Have a good day, guys.
Yep. He is Brian Windhorst, covers NBA for ESPN. And we're going to be joined by Rashad Phillips at 1:25. Talk to him about the NBA Finals, the draft, and more. Don't miss it. Jason and John, 90 FM, ESPN.
Hey, everyone. Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us, and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.
There is a pool. I can see, like, sort of the, you know, the, how do you say, condensation on the plexiglass here, man, because you are sweating out the decision of Lester Quinones. It's getting pretty nitty-gritty here, right? We're getting down to the wire. Now, we set the odds at plus, you know, 575 that decision would come during our show. And if the latest tweet from our good friend Munsley is any indication, doesn't sound like we're going to get it, buddy. Doesn't sound like we're going to get it.
What's the agent saying, John?
Well, so Munsley has reached out to the agent, Scott Nichols, and he says, as it relates to Lester, he has a workout today. After that, we can see where he's at. So that is
the... If you'd like, we'll check in with him? We will all be looking to check in there, bro.
Right, because
Let me go ahead. Then I'm going to ask you a question.
The Celtics can win the series. Of course they can win the series, but will they win the series? Those are two very separate questions.
I wonder if this is a question that, since you brought Lester Quinones back up, that some people driving around and listening to us on the radio might be asking themselves. I'll pose it to you, and maybe you've got an answer that can satisfy all of us. But if Mike Miller is now an agent, right? One that's taken off. You just heard Brian Windhorst talk about how we think the thing could take off. You got Paolo Banchero. Why would you not? Why would Lester Quinones not have Mike Miller as his agent with this unique opportunity, it seems like, to have the guy that recruited you to Memphis? Now you got an opportunity for him to be your representation. Any light you can shed on that? Because that's a question driving around, just a general one I would ask myself.
Absolutely, and I'm glad you asked that question. I think it's a good question. I think it's a terrific question, maybe one of the best questions you've ever asked in the history of the show.
Nah, you're playing.
But I do think it's fair, right? Because Mike is in that game now, and Lester is trying to get into this, pursue a professional career, so it would make sense, especially as Mike was the guy that got him here.
And he doesn't just have Banqueros, he's got J.D. Davison's too, who kind of become fringe guys in a way.
My guess would be, and I don't know this for a fact, but my intuition is that it's not a guarantee that Lester is drafted, right?
Right.
He would have an expectation of being drafted. I mean, that's if you, I'm assuming that
JD still expect to get drafted. I see where you're going.
Yes. And I think that where you always want to be careful is when you have a relationship with a guy like that who you've known for a long time, you don't want to potentially compromise the relationship because it doesn't work out for them the way that they wanted it to. And then they look at you and they say, well, you're my agent. You were supposed to get me in the second round. You're supposed to do this, this, and this. And you let me down. So I think you make choices along the way, right? Is it worth it for both of us to potentially put our relationship on ice here and at risk here? Because I can't guarantee that you're going to get out of this what you hope you're going to get out of this. You know, like with a guy like RJ Hampton. RJ Hampton was a top five player, right?
Mm-hmm.
Coming out of high school, and there was still some disappointment when he slides to the back of the first round. RJ's very happy, and it ended up working out. And, I'm assuming they're going to have to make another deal there in Orlando. But it could also go the other way, where a guy gets disappointed, doesn't feel like you did what you were supposed to do for him. Then he has to, move on from you, right? So I think you make sort of calculated strategic decisions there when there's a personal relationship, if you look at sort of Mike's class right now, the majority of those guys – if not all of those guys, are pretty much guaranteed draft picks.
Mm.
Where they get drafted.
Now we're getting to some nitty-gritty.
Yeah, where they get drafted is a totally separate. Because I think, Mike, if you're going to get in this game, you make your name by getting guys that make impacts, Not guys who you hope get two ways, who you hope get drafted at the back end of the second round.
Right.
You want your Paolos, your J.D. Davison.
You're trying to make a splash in the aging game. Just talk about it. You need to come on with it early.
He's got Wendell Moore, and some others that he's in on or wasn't on. So I think you're just sometimes it's too close, right? And you don't want to get tangled up in a.
They're not going to be draft picks.
Well, I think that's the thing.
This sort of speaks to what we've been talking about all day long about Lester's decision, it seems like to me.
I think if Lester was a first-round draft pick, we're having a completely different conversation, right? Because then it's just like, I can do for you what you hope to get out of this, right? Your ambitions, I can help you achieve. I don't think Mike is very interested or would be, or anybody like Mike in that position would be very interested in taking on a case where this guy, whoever it is, may have his sights set on being a second-round pick or getting a two-way, and you know how hard it is. You can't guarantee that. Because I think you're probably telling that kid, go back to school, But, again, I don't know all the information that
My thing is, like an agent's not going to, if you're the prospect here, the agent's not going to make you a higher pick. The agent can go out and get the looks and have the contacts, but you're the one that's going to have to do that. And what you should, what I've always thought and talking to, guys who have had agents, everything else, is you want somebody who's going to shoot you straight. What you don't want somebody doing is promising you stuff that they can't deliver on, or saying that some contact has told them through this relationship, hey, this looks good, and you basing a life decision on that information, whereas I tell you in the same spirit I asked the question, I would think if I'm Lester Quinones, I know I'm going to get shot straight from Mike Miller, whom I trust,
Oh,
but again,
for sure.
From Mike's standpoint, okay, you want guys are going to be drafted. You're trying to take off as an agency early. I also get the idea, too. Like they tell you, don't sell cars to family members. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
You start mixing business and family, and this is a little bit of that as well. So
Believe me,
I'm buying what you're selling, but
right.
I would tell you, too.
I think if Lester called Mike would give him advice, though, right?
I believe it,
yeah.
And I think Lester should listen.
And I think
Mike's
going
to shoot you straight.
I think that advice probably would be to go back to school. But, you know, again, whether or not that happens or that's – because
that would matter to me.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah, if I've got a great relationship with my new agent, sure, I trust him, whatever. But a guy that I came to Memphis partly for, right? I mean, that was the relationship. I would listen to that, and it would – you know, it would carry some weight with me, serious weight.
Because
the agent,
the agent may question, you know.
He's in this game, too.
Does he get a cut of the NIL deal if you come back? I don't know. I don't know if that's how that works. Could is that a separate entity altogether? If you get a G League contract, he's getting a cut of that. And granted, it's not going to be much, but it's still something as opposed to nothing in theory. So, you know, you gotta always keep in mind, what's the agenda behind, you know, who has the agendas in this situation? Penny has an agenda, right? The agent has an agenda. So you gotta talk to people who don't have an agenda in the matter. Like, objectively, who can you lean on and trust to make the right decision? Because I do think there is a right decision in terms of, unless there's a guarantee. If there's a guarantee, then it's, then you know, then it's a math question, you know?
This guarantee is so much different, though. I just read Marcus Sasser's talking about, can he get a first-round guarantee? That's the reason why he hadn't pulled out yet or whatever, you know? And I don't know that he's going to come close to that.
Lester's not going to get a first-round guarantee.
But that's my point. We're talking about guarantees of two-way or
Correct.
Something like that.
Correct.
Marcus Sasser is still waiting to make his decision. The Houston guard's talking about, can I get in the first round? That I understood. Guarantees of two-way, that kind of, and that life, taking that – to me, that's as, you must really want out if you're willing to take that road, because that's a much.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.